or service above, that is our goal.
And direction in our life. And so we are looking this evening at Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha, spending time with them. And we're looking at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." And that's as far as we read the word of the Lord, and this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Been pondering what it might have been like to spend time actually encountering Jesus in person as he walked this earth. Some of his disciples came to him and asked him about being one of his disciple. What are the perks, we might say, of being a follower of you, Jesus Christ? And Jesus said something surprising. He said, "Well, foxes have holes in the ground. The birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man has no permanent place to put his head." So you might say there were times that Jesus just slept out in the open air. But there are other times when Jesus enjoyed the warmth and fellowship that came in the hospitality of good friends. I think he loved going to the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus in the town of Bethany. At this point in his journey to the cross, when many other hearts and homes were shut to him, he was shunned by so many at this point in his ministry. Here was a door that was wide open. And in this passage, we see Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem for what would be the last time there. To get there, they were about 2 miles out of Jerusalem in the town of Bethany. And when Martha hears of the disciples and Jesus coming to town, she insists. You can imagine that they come to her home for dinner. She wants to show them through her hospitality how much she loves them. Now, I don't know what it's like at your house when you're getting ready to host a large group. But to me, just the thought of that is a threat. It's overwhelming. There's so many things that you need to get prepared. And I'm very aware of what skilled cooks are able to do. I admire that. They can take cold food from the refrigerator one time, put hot food on the stove at another time, and make it all come out the same and good. And everybody has a good time. I think from where I sit, usually it's a minor miracle. I don't know what it was like in your house growing up, but my mom and my oldest sister had the great gift of hospitality. Many times Dad would say, "Hey, by the way, these people that have come here to work a little bit on our farm are going to come over for lunch. Can you have some meal, something prepared?" And Mom just did that. As far as I know, most of the time with a very cheerful heart. But here it is, Martha. I'm not going to really pick on her tonight, because actually every time I hear Martha, I think of my mom or my sister Jackie, who just always would pour themselves into it, and they were organized, and you wanted them on your team. So Luke tells us that Martha had become very distracted at this point. It's the word that he uses there. She complains to Jesus, "Tell Mary to help." And then Jesus, very lovingly, "Martha, Martha." He does that quite often. You'll see that again and again. "Peter, Peter, I have something to say to you." And I don't think he was chastising them as much as he was putting an arm around her, saying, "You know, just take a breath here a moment. I've got to tell you something." He said, "You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." And so we could conclude that we are to be like Mary in a Martha world. People who prioritize spending time with Jesus instead of allowing the cares of life to overwhelm us. Mary, we often hear, is the hero, or is she really? Yeah, I do have secret sympathy for Martha. She's kind of my kind of a woman. She's realistic. She approaches life as she sees it. She knows what needs to be done ahead of time. She calls things exactly as she sees them. Wasn't too long ago, Luke or John 11 records how 4 days Jesus arrived late for Lazarus' funeral. And when he showed up, they took him to the cemetery, and he asked that the stone be rolled away. Now here comes Martha with all of her practical wisdom and does the numbers and says, "Hey, he's been dead for 4 days, and in the old King James, by this time, Lord, he stinketh." And that's pretty blunt. But you might say it reeked with truth. That's Martha. That's the kind of woman she was. Realistic enough to know that if you're going to get a dinner together for a crowd of people, at least 13, but probably a few more, somebody's got to go out there and hustle to get it together. Sitting around won't prepare the food at all. Think about it. You know, if it weren't for the Marthas of this world, nothing much would get done, I think. Few sermons would ever be preached and prepared. Few missions would ever be undertaken. No evangelism work would get done. Because let's hear it for the Marthas. I think we can have sympathy for them. You can give Martha, you cannot give Martha low marks for serving at all. So I have sympathy for her. But this story has a context. In the previous story to this, you can look it up later, verse 25 through 37, it's the story about the Good Samaritan. The basic lesson of that story is that your neighbor is whoever you see in need, and you are in a position to help them. So, really, the next story in this story, Martha is just being a good neighbor. She recognizes that Jesus and his disciples are hungry and need something to eat. And I think wherever she went, Martha was kind of was full of good deeds and a kind of love that made life bearable for those who were sick. I think she was the kind of woman that would sit at the feet of a child who was in the hospital and just sit with them, to be hospitable to them, to help them, to care for them. So in a sense, she's being a good neighbor. Jesus had no problem with that at all. The difficulty that Jesus does seem to point out was not that the service was not right, but it was the spirit of the service. Good service with a bad spirit is bad service. Amen? You know what that's like. She was distracted and encumbered, really, by serving. If you asked, why are you going through all this trouble? Martha would probably say, well, you've heard this before, if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing well. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about too many things. Maybe, Martha, one dish would be enough. Simplify the menu, and that would be enough. That's all you have to prepare. Some of us need to underline this lesson. If a thing is worth doing, it may be worth doing simply. Again, nothing wrong with hospitality. Nothing wrong with going all out, but sometimes a soup and some crackers and water is all you need. Now, likewise, from the previous story, if you meet someone on Jericho Road, it's certainly worth stopping to lend a hand, right? But that doesn't mean that at that point you have to start a Jericho Road Missionary Society. And it doesn't mean that you have to serve on that board and attend all the meetings and become the chief operating officer. Sometimes helping one neighbor is simply all that you need to handle, and to do that simply. That's a good strategy. Service done with a good spirit. Are you anxious, irritable, hard to get along with? You can hear Jesus speaking through the years and through the distance here. You've heard it said, misery loves company, and that may be true. I'm sure of one thing, misery certainly spoils the company for everybody else. And I believe that's what happened here. Martha was so irritated by Mary's lack of going along with her and helping out. I don't know if you've ever had this experience in your life, that you've gone over to somebody's house where the host couple was really at each other's throat. They were just very angry. You ring the doorbell, they greet you nicely, but you can tell that they were irritated, and sometimes the irritation continues while you're there. I see some smiles, but that I can picture times when that happened. It gets a little awkward for everybody around. Because when irritation is part of our service, that spoils it for everyone. Hear the word of Christ. One dish is enough. If a thing's worth doing, it's doing it worth doing simply. Now, I'm not saying just be lazy, but I am saying sometimes when we give our act of service and we expect somebody to respond in a way, here we are, I'm spending all this time doing this and nobody notices, and maybe the attitude in which we do that is a little bit out of kilter. You know, there are times when you just have to dig deep and do things well. I get that. But do it with joy. I think of our Thursday evening meals and how it's such a joy to show up. But the loving service from the kitchen, you know, the waiting, the help, the environment that's created there where we can have a conversation with people is blessed. If you can prepare that sort of a meal and do it with great delight and warmth and hospitality, I'd just love to come to your house. You know, Personally, I prefer a big meal to soup and sandwiches. But I like much more soup and sandwiches with a good spirit than all the fixings with a bad and bitter spirit. So what Martha needed to do was let Christ serve her first before she even made the menu. And that's, I think, where I bring that to all of us here tonight. You know, as we're thinking about prayer in this season, focusing on the Lord's Prayer, I think here is a picture of what Jesus really wants from us. Not, shall we just have our prayer time, check, check, have I done all the things I needed to do? Have I gone through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication in the proper way? No, Jesus wants us to spend time with Him, to relish His presence, not to hurry through to a meal and get it all done. If a thing's worth doing, it may be worth doing simply, but that's not the end of it. Often we need to cut back to what we call a simpler life, greater things. We are far, far too busy. Too busy in our life. Too busy turning away from serving Jesus and your neighbor. Maybe that's what we have to do, is maybe fill more of our time serving our neighbors than we do spending time watching TV, engaging our hobbies, watching Jeopardy, watching The Price is Right, watching The Wheel of Fortune. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but how are we spending time with Jesus? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to His word. In that previous story again, as I'm wrapping it up, because I think those two are very connected, the Good Samaritan was introduced by a conflict between Jesus and a theologian. That man knew the Bible. He could quote the big, great verse. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And as that story unfolds, we see two primary actors, a priest and a Levite. Before they left home that morning, they could quote those two verses. Yet, the verses clearly had no impact on what happened on the way to Jericho Road. Knowing the Bible is very important, very important. But that's not what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. What we need to hear again and again is that, like Mary, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. He is the main character in this story, not Mary or Martha, but He is the one who is the host of our life, spending time with Him, allowing Him to minister to you. One key question that Jesus asks from people that had a need, He says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? To experience Jesus doing something in you before you do something for Him is key. The first command, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second, like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. These commands are always in that order. The prayer that we're praying is always in that same order too. Take care of God's kingdom and His business first. Then take care of yourself. Do that and God will take care of you all the time. So, conclusion with all of our busyness. Do we need to simplify our life? Are there things that we are doing that are so in that camp of Martha? Busyness without spending time with Jesus. Jesus is not as interested in what we have to offer him. He really doesn't need us to do anything. He uses us by his grace. But Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, he left heaven, took on human flesh. The one who created the world entered into that world just like any other baby. He was born under the law. He obeyed his father and mother. He walked from place to place. He got blisters on his feet. He was tired. He got hungry. He needed hospitality. What a mystery. The song we sing, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. Wow. Bow down before him. Let us bow down before him and worship him, for this is our God. When we see Jesus sitting in the home of Mary and Martha, we see the true hero of this story. Amen. O Jesus, gracious Savior and host, would you grant that as we sit at your feet, we might be attentive to your words. As we live our lives in obedience to your word, we ask that you might grant us strength in our service. The things that we do for you, the work that we offer on behalf of your kingdom, Father, may it be work that you empower and enable us to do in your strength. And then may we find rest. May we find light for the way. May we find grace for the trials that we face along the way. May we find help from above. May we find unfailing sympathy and undying love that is ours as we spend time with you. Help us to continue in all of your promises. In your name we pray. Amen.